given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
So what in the world have we been talking about? That's something that I've been thinking about this week, is what have we been talking about? You know, we're in the series Experiencing God, and this message really kind of is at the end of that. We will look at what we've been talking at that, but really, what have we been talking about from the very beginning? From the very beginning, we've been talking about how does one grow spiritually. One time, several years ago, I was a pastor in Minnesota, and a Christian friend came to me, and she was really excited because she had gone to a rally led by a TV evangelist. And she came home, and she was just jazzed, and she was like, oh, it was awesome, and it was great, and I grew so much. And I was really intrigued, and I went, wow, what did he say? And she paused for a minute and went, well, I don't know, but it was really good. And, you know, I kind of nodded and smiled, and I thought, I think what you meant, you were inspired so much. Because that's something that I think Christians need to understand. Inspiration is great. I love to be inspired. And, you know, that's a great part of our walk is inspiration. But spiritual growth happens another way. So today we're going to look at faith catalysts. What really does grow our faith? And unsurprisingly, it is our tagline. It's learn, experience, change the world. That's what grows our faith. That's what grows our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our main text today is found in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to focus in on verses 15 and 16, but I'm going to start at verse 11, and we're kind of work our way there to give a little context of what's going on. So here we are, Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 11, but again, our main focus is going to be 15 and 16. So 11. It was He, speaking of Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And I'll just pause there for a minute. Begins with Jesus bringing people into our lives that make a difference. And so first we get with people, and then verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we have people, and then we move on to what is the goal? Where are we going? What's the deal? Where are we heading? What's the picture like of what's going on? And then verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. So we have what we're trying to attain, and we're having what we're trying to avoid. And this all leads to verses 15 and 16, which is how we do it. So there's people involved, there's a place we're going, there's a place we're avoiding, and verses 15 and 16, how we do it. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together, by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Right there, and in this part of the text, so we have people, we have what we're going toward, what we're avoiding, but these last verses of how we get there are our faith catalysts. And this theme is something that we see over and over and over again in Scripture. This is a pattern, and that's something we've been talking a lot about through this series. It's a pattern of how we experience God, but also here today, a pattern of faith catalyst. What grows our faith? Well, the first part of that, it says truth and love. And so the first part that grows our faith is learn. It's the first word of our tagline. Learn. It is the fulcrum of Scripture. It is what changes us. So if you think to moments when when you have really grown in faith, one of the things you will see is that Scripture oftentimes plays an immediate role. Now, what about this word learn, though? This word learn, though, has some connotations, and sometimes it may be negative connotations, right? And by the way, the Bible isn't ignorant of those negative connotations. In fact, Ecclesiastes 1:18, Solomon said, "The more knowledge, the more grief." Right? In other words, ignorance is indeed bliss, right? I don't want to learn because ignorance is bliss, and then I'll have grief. And the Bible mentions that. It also mentions a governor speaking to the Apostle Paul in Acts 26:24. The governor says to Paul, "Your great learning is driving you insane." So Paul was kind of the Harvard PhD of his day, and so your great learning is driving you insane. And sometimes this word "learn," it doesn't carry doesn't always carry positive connotations. But as we look into it, Scripture is a fulcrum to change us. Sometimes, and as much as I like to geek out on Scripture and look at Greek and Hebrew and some deep theological conversations, sometimes I think Christianity needs to apologize for turning Scripture into trivia. Because that's not what it is. It's a fulcrum to change our lives. It changes our lives in two ways. And the first way is to change our worldview. How do we view everything? How do we view it? And I'll break it up into five major areas. How do we view ourselves? Have you met that person that just thinks they're stupid or a loser? Right? How is their life affected? Their worldview of self is hurting them. Scripture changes worldview of ourself. It tells us that, yeah, we have a sin problem. But Jesus loved us so much because we are so worth it. He died for us to rescue us. How do we view others? That's an important thing. Have you met the person that believes that everybody's out to get them? Right? Have you met that person? That worldview is hurtful. Scripture says, it tells us that others are lost treasure, extraordinarily valuable, but lost. What about the world? Is it an opportunity for self-gratification, or is it an alternate value system that we're sent here to be a light to? How about God? Is God a harsh, judgmental ogre, or is he powerful and just, yet wishing to rescue and extraordinarily, amazingly loving? And what is our view of life? Scripture tells us that we're here for a purpose. One of the things that Scripture does is it changes the view, our view of everything. And that's one of the reasons why being in Scripture is so important, is that it's constantly recorrecting our lenses. I just had an eye exam, and my stubborn ways, I waited until I was completely out of contacts and waited way too long, and I finally went there. And one of the things they do, if you're a glasses person or a contact person, you know this: one or two, three or four, five or six, right? They just do that. I kind of wonder what their life is like, right? One or two, how does that work? And everything. So anyway, Scripture does that for us. It corrects our view. And we live in a world that is constantly trying to skew our view. Scripture grows our faith. One, by changing our worldview. But two, it changes us in practical teaching. Both Old Testament and New Testament talk about this. I picked just two scriptures, but it's a lot of them. Ezekiel 33:31 says, "My people have come to you, as they usually do, and sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice." Jesus said something very similar. He said in Matthew 7:24 and 25, he said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat up against the house, and yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock." There's an important piece to that. And this is where my geek sense of saying, oh yeah, let's get into the trivia and let's dig in deep to the Greek and the Hebrew and the theology. says, no, wait a minute. As fun as that is, the purpose of Scripture is a fulcrum to change our lives. We need to apply it to our lives. Hearing it alone is not good enough. We need to apply it. And when you think back to times when you have really grown in the faith, one of the things that may be a common factor is you read a verse and you went, huh, wow, I'm going to do this different. And God was in it. He changes us through Scripture. When your faith intersects God's faithfulness, your faith gets bigger. So, what are these faith catalysts? One is learn. To learn Scripture. We learn through practical teaching, and we learn through changing our worldview, how we look at the world. And the second thing that we do is we experience. The message of Scripture is a message of experience. Verses 15 and 16 in our text talks about Christ together. And I'll just hit that one piece again. He who is the head, that is Christ, from him the whole body is joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. And I'll stop right there. Well, there's a lot going on in that little piece there, but part of this is telling us, along with other parts of Scripture, I'll bring that in, that the message of Scripture is that we can experience a true love relationship with God. We can experience, that's the message of Scripture, is that this is an invitation, not to a philosophy, but to a relationship. And we grow when we grow in that relationship. Jesus said in John chapter 5, 39 and 40, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. And so Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, that you think that studying Scripture is going to bring you salvation? It's not. The Scriptures are talking about a relationship with Jesus. All of this is to enter into and grow in our relationship with Him. How do we grow in faith? By experiencing Him. When I was a teenager, it was like the last day of class somewhere in high school. And one of our teachers, I for the life of me do not remember which one, decided to have a party, and involved in the party was a can of pop, soda, or Coke, depending on which region of the country you come from. For us, it was pop. And we had pop. And so everybody got one pop. And, you know, the class clown came to me, grabbed mine, shook it up like crazy, and then handed it back to me and said, there you go. And walked away. And, you know, I looked at that and I was like, great, now what do I do? And in my head, I started bubbling. Now, granted, my head bubbling is different than most people because I'm weird, but my head started bubbling and I went, Boyle's ideal gas law, PV equals NRT. Pressure times volume times mole is equal to moles of gas times the constant times T. You move around the equation, they just added energy to it. So if I add pressure to it, it will undo what he just did. And this works, by the way, Boyle's idea of gas law. If you take a shaken up can of pop and squeeze it real hard before you open it, the pressure that you just put into the liquid drives all the gas back into the liquid. So you squeeze it real hard, and then I just went, so he can't see that I'm squeezing hard. So he shook it up, there you go, and I just squeeze it real hard, and it went, it was open. And I was like, yes, it worked. Awesome. Chemistry. Yeah. Well, all that to come back to, you know, my chemistry teacher never taught us that. That wasn't part of the thing. But I applied it and things were different. You know, that's what Scripture is telling us. Part of what we've been talking about, faith catalysts, is that we need to learn the Word, but we need to experience the Spirit. And the Word is telling us that there is a great experience waiting for us. And so as we come to how do we grow faith, one of the ways we grow faith is put ourselves in a place where we can experience the presence of God. The message of Scripture is that you can experience, and first, you can experience the Spirit directly. How we do that is through what I call authentic worship. And that is when we really are heart engaged. I've had those Sundays. I've had those times during the week when it's just nice music, right? It's just nice music. But then there are times when I allow my heart to engage and it becomes something so much more. God is there and I'm worshiping. That's authentic worship. Another way to do that, and I've talked about this before, is relational prayer. There's a time, and it's certainly been part of my prayer life for a while now, is where I'm praying for something. Lord, please do this thing. Lord, please solve this. Lord, and we give all of our requests and supplications to Him. But Scripture also talks about relational prayer. Prayer where it's, Lord, show me more of You today. Lord, I want to see Your heart. Lord, I want more of You. And it's relational prayer, and that changes things. Another way to experience the prayer is in community. And I see that here. One of the things you do is, if you were to ask, tell me some times when you really grew in your faith, you might say, well, I read this scripture, and for the first time, it clicked in a different way. I may have read it 18 times before, but this time I read it, and it clicked, and I applied it to there, and it worked. Practical teaching, learn, we talked about that. It might be you were in worship and prayer, and you sensed God's power, and something happened. But another thing that might happen is you might bring up a time when you might say, I was going through a thing, and this person showed up in my life, and they said that other thing, and it made all the difference in the world, right? I call that providential relationships, and we are experiencing God through people. We're experiencing the presence of the Spirit through people, through community. And one of the keys to this in our faith catalyst of what we do is we need to put ourselves in environments where that can happen. See, if we're Lone Ranger Christians or we're Christian hermits, we miss out on this huge faith catalyst. We need to put ourselves in places where we say, I'm here, open to what God will do in my life through someone else. And the other side is, Lord, maybe I'm that person. Now, to make that all in context here, that's nothing about being bossy or, obviously you need to do this. It's not that. It's being God's vessel to speak into someone's life and to have others speak into your life. So, how do we grow in our faith? Well, we learn. We learn worldview. We learn practical teaching. We experience. We experience God's Spirit in worship, authentic worship, and relational prayer, and also in community. And third, we change the world. Change the world. The promise of Scripture, and I'm not using that word lightly. The promise of Scripture. Verse 16, our very end of our text says, "As each part does its work." Work. There are a lot of promises in Scripture. One of them is you will face trials. And as often as I know that, how well I know that Scripture, every time I go, what? A trial? Why? But bad things happen. That's just part of life. That's a promise of Scripture. But there are other promises. Promises that you will be an impact. You will make a difference. You will be my witnesses, Jesus said. Those are promises of Scripture. And changing the world in His name is a promise to every believer. That is something we're to engage in, making a difference. One key is that when we seek to make an impact for Christ, oftentimes the biggest impact is on us. See, it's a faith catalyst. It grows our faith. And when we seek to make an impact for Christ, quite often the biggest impact is on us. I am the best example of this. We moved our family to Gilbert to make an impact for Christ. And you all made the greatest impact on me. That is a universal principle. a principle that we're promised to make an impact, and in it, we are often the ones that grow. Philemon verse 6, I'll just put that on a side for you. I'll let you look at that some other time, but that's a great text that talks about that we are often the greatest ones that are impacted. So how do we do that? Verse 16, each one does his work. How do we do that? How does that work in us? This is a method of getting to the goal that this text is talking about. It is a faith catalyst. So how do we do that? First, we do that by generous living. One of the things that we need to switch in our mind, one of the worldview type things that we need to switch, is that we live for others. When we put ourselves in that position to change the world, that we want that faith catalyst active in our life, one of the switches we got to switch in our brain, and I don't know about you, but it's something that I got to switch often, is I'm not here for me. I'm here for others. And so a generous heart is the beginning of that faith catalyst, a heart for impact, a heart to change the world. When we align our hearts towards a generous life, impact will happen, and it will be a faith catalyst. Well, drilling down into that a little more, let's talk about it. And generosity 40. 4T generosity is another way to say it, but I had to be cute. Generosity 40. Four ways that we can just think about how are we going to be generous. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And this is recorded in three of the Gospels, his response, but he is quoting Deuteronomy 6:5 as the greatest commandment. And he says, the first is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's a fundamental scripture in our lives to love the Lord with all that we are. Now, an interesting thing has happened in our culture, American culture, because when we say, love the Lord with all your strength, our fitness-crazed culture all of us says, oh, going to the gym is worship. I need to work on my muscles. And, right? Because that's what we think. Strength, muscles, that's the way it works. That's our culture because we're in that fitness craze mode. And gym, good. Not the application to the scripture, though. This scripture is talking about something else. In fact, it's pretty unique to the last few decades that we would go there. Other places, going back to the rabbis before Jesus, to the time of Jesus, to the early church fathers, all said the same thing. We love the Lord with our strength, which is all that we bring to bear in this world. See, each of us has a financial strength. Each of us has a social strength. Each of us has innate skills and talents. That is all our strength. So that kind of leads to four T's. One, love the Lord with your time. Because we all have a strength of time. We all have a certain amount of time in the day, and we love the Lord with our time. We love the Lord with our talent. Second T. The skills, the knowledge, the abilities that God has given us. We honor and love God with that. We love God with our tithe, our financial strength. We love God with our testimony. We are His witnesses. What has He done in our life? All of that leads to love the Lord your God with all your strength. All of us to do His work, verse 16 of our text, and change the world. All of that together is a faith catalyst. We are changed. We are impacted. We grow in our faith when we seek to impact others for Christ. So, how can we do this in a regular, day-to-day type life? I have read several wonderful books on the disciplines of the Christian life, and there are many that are beautiful and wonderful, and I appreciate them all. But I wanted to kind of bring, I tried top four, but it just didn't work, so I brought top five of spiritual disciplines that bring to life, and they really mirror what we've been talking about. One is life application Bible study, not the life application study Bible, which is also good. but life application Bible study. In other words, I'm looking into the Word and I'm asking myself, how does this affect my view? How can I apply it in my life? It will grow your faith. Second is encounter worship. And just like everybody else, I've had those days where I'm just there. Right? I'm just there. That happens. That's life. But there are other times when I say, Lord, I really want to encounter you. I really want to know you. And I open my heart to you and I lift you up in worship and I experience his presence. And it is life-changing. Third, relational prayer. We've been talking about that. That in, as valuable as it is, as important it is to lift all your requests to God, the thing that grows our faith is when we lift ourselves to God and say, I want to know you more. And to let that part of your faith life grow. And then fifth, other-centered generosity. Other-centered generosity, to just have that view of how can I make a difference for Christ. So what have we been saying from the very beginning? Well, we've been saying that a relationship with Jesus Christ will change your life, will change your moment, your life, and your eternity. Jesus will. Secondly, that there are catalysts that grow our faith. And it begins with seeking Jesus right where you are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we have together. And we pray, Lord, in our next steps, that you will lead us on a path and we'll be heart open in that path to grow in our faith. Help us to engage with learn, experience, change the world as we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.